Don't go into the word thinking, well, I've heard this before, we're going to have a bit of word now, and we're going, listen, no. We've prayed this morning that the Lord would minister through the Holy Spirit now into each of our lives, our hearts and our minds. And I believe that a word from God can change the direction of our lives, our futures. Things can change like that as God speaks and ministers. So we enter into the word and this part of the worship with an expectancy that God is going to minister his truth to us. Amen?
Amen.
Now then, let's go into the word. And we go first of all into Proverbs 26 verse 4. Proverbs 26 verse 4. It reads this. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Nice. The Proverbs just speak such sense to us, such clarity. It's so beautiful, isn't it, to have a clear and a concise description from the Word of, you know, the remit of our lives, the perspectives that we should have. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. It's clear, isn't it? Should you answer a fool? Should you answer a fool?
No.
Okay, now let's read on. Answer a fool, verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Oh. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Should you answer a fool according to their folly? Well, this says you should. It says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Now then, verse 4 says you shouldn't answer a fool. Verse 5 says you should answer a fool. Now then, Gentiles, in the main, I expect, how do you work that out? Listen, this is the problem with, well, you need a Jewish mind sometimes to understand the Bible. In terms of the holistic nature of the Bible. You see, what's happened is Western thinking is Platonistic. It's been influenced by Greek thought. And what Westerners tend to do is they tend to dissect the Bible and say, it says this, I read this, da, 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 da. And they come up with silly little interpretations of the Bible because they haven't understood it holistically. The Bible is not always meant to be understood analytically to one word being dissected and brought apart. Sometimes it is. That's why I do it. But not always. Sometimes you should answer a fool according to his folly. But not always. In other words, there is a need for a thing called wisdom. And wisdom shows us when we should do this, when we should do that. And it takes us away from a silly little understanding and interpretation of Scripture that we think we've got it right. And it gives us more of a wisdom to know how to apply it. You see, the Scripture is about application, but it's been limited to understanding. Everyone tries to understand, understand, understand. Understanding is good, but it must be understanding that applies it. And wisdom is needed to apply the scripture. Now, to him who has ears to hear, let him hear. So if you've got it, great. If you haven't, ask him. I want us to talk about today, in light of what we've been studying regarding the kingdom, the definition of authority. Authority has three parts. It has decision, which is the will. It has command, and then it has action. Decision, command, action. The manifestation of authority. The Bible, you know, is to be understood as the governance of God. We talk about kingdom, but really what we could talk about is government, because government is a word that we use more than kingdom. So basically, the Bible is talking about the governance of God on planet Earth. And it's highlighting for you and I how God governs planet Earth. Now, in Matthew 6, let's go to Matthew 6. Go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, and we go to verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We've been looking at this for a couple of weeks. We're going to look at it again today and briefly highlight something here which is very important. The definition of authority is decision, command, action. That explains the kingdom of God. That's how the governance of God works on planet Earth. It is God's will being done on Earth. God's will is done when his authority is accepted and is yielded to. Every person living under the authority of God is part of the kingdom of God. Every aspect of life which is submitted to the authority of God is part of the kingdom of God. God's kingdom extends as far as his authority is acknowledged and obeyed. Are you listening? Well, here's a test of the kingdom of God. Each one do it now with yourself. Does the will and action of the person align with God's will? Does the will and action of a person align with God's will? If you can answer yes, then it's a part of the kingdom. If you answer no, then it is a part of the kingdom of darkness. It's a simple question. Now, why is this important to understand? I'll tell you why. This last week, I was listening to the news, and we'd heard some reports of a person trying to grab a man in a car trying to grab a little girl. Around this area of Wigan. And there is a Facebook site for parents, and it was on that site. And I've been told that this happens frequently. I started to think about that, and it made me, well, I went through a range of emotions from anger to, in the end, a sort of, well, difficult to quantify really, but frustration. And all the time I'm speaking to God and saying, Lord, how on earth can that happen? What kind of a mind would what kind of a sick, evil demon drives people to that? And then I received a letter from a group that we have some involvement with in Pakistan, where there's a little girl of 13 years old, I won't go into details, but a Christian girl, and was forced to change religion and various things. I don't want to say too much, but that got me thinking along the same lines. And then, of course, there's the news that pours out from, the various media outlets and things. And I've got all this going on in my mind. I'm thinking, Lord, what on earth? What's going on? I've thought this way before. This isn't a revelation or something, I'm just saying what happened this week. And I was saying, and he started to speak to me about my position and my authority in his kingdom. And that as I've been speaking and teaching on kingdom, the very point of it is that we do not accept those things taking place whilst we, as believers in Christ and his body on earth, have the resources that he has given us available to us. We are not without power to influence this world. Amen. I may not be at a place where some devil is driving a car so that I can monitor things and be handy with a couple of people at the ready to, sort the situation out. I can't do that because my battle is not against flesh and blood. My battle is against who? Principalities and powers. And that battle that God teaches us in the scriptures is ours to fight. He has commissioned us as a church not to be uninvolved, but to be very much involved in that battle. For us to have an influence and to exercise dominion. He says to us, he charges us with a responsibility, okay? The weapons of your warfare are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Amen. So what are you doing with those mighty weapons? Are you using those mighty weapons? And he told me this. He said, you tell the church on Sunday, you use your mighty weapons. Don't you dare just be passive people, going along life in a passive way and thinking, oh, well, look at this. Isn't this terrible? Isn't this terrible? We're not to be the mourners and complainers. The mourners and the complainers are the ones who aren't equipped with what we're equipped with. When you've been given the awesome resources of God, you're not meant to be a mourner and a complainer. You're meant to take dominion. Exercise influence and authority. And that influence and authority will change this earth. There's no question about it. Because it's not our power. We exercise the authority that God has given us. He has delegated authority to us believers. The power is his. So the power's there. The weapons of our warfare are mighty in God. And he's given them for the pulling down of those things. So the power's already there. The question is this. Are we exercising our God-given authority and using the power? So let me say this. On a Wednesday night, when we gather here, don't be thinking. Remember the testimony that I shared earlier about kingdom and the gift that the king gave. Don't come to a prayer meeting thinking, oh, well, we go through the same old, you know, we're going to go through the same sort of things again, and it's the same. We're not going through the same old, nothing. We're engaging with Almighty God for the establishment of his kingdom through prayer on planet Earth. It's not the same old anything. Very important manifestation of what God has called us to do, what he's equipped us to do. But you know, people have been tricked thinking, for example, I mean, here's an example. People are tricked sometimes thinking that, you know, if they pray for the same thing more than once, they're in unbelief or something. Well, look, sometimes that might be the case. But I read the New Testament, I see Paul prayed more than once for things. Paul did it. I can see the New Testament. I mean, for example, in Ephesians 1, it says this, therefore, this is Paul, I also, in verse 15, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, plural. Plural, prayers, plural. And then he tells us what he's praying, plural. This is one of the famous prayers of the apostle. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom. Notice that, the spirit of wisdom. And revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his almighty power. I think I'm the only one. Oh, Lord, I think I'm the only one excited in this place. Help the church to be excited, Lord, please. Like I'm excited in Jesus. Am I the only one who's excited here this morning? No, I'm not. I know I'm not. Just let your faces show it. It's encouraging for me. You know, this is just something, isn't it? This is rich. This is just beautiful stuff. So Paul prays that. For example, it's just one little thing, you know, just a highlight thing. We could go to Colossians. He says the same thing in plural. But we must operate in kingdom power. Our power potential must be exercised. God has created the universe to function in accordance with spiritual laws. This makes authority very, very important. Authority and principles are important. Now watch this. Often people don't understand authority. They don't recognize it. They don't honor it. Very often people don't understand authority in a church. They don't recognize authority. People say, why do they call people pastor? Why do you say Pastor Steve? Why don't you say Steve? Well, Pastor Steve is a recognition of authority. It's someone saying, oh, I recognize authority. It's for the same reason when people went to Jesus, they said, Rabbi, teacher. Oh, I know that, you know, the modern churches like to just be casual. I do understand. I do understand. And I do disagree. And I am right. Yeah. Well, you know, there's 80,000 churches in the UK. There's only one church that's been on the front pages of newspapers because of the healings in the church. If I boast, I boast in Jesus, folks. I could cite many things that have happened in this place, many miracles. Listen, we're not about talk here. We have the truth that has manifested in healing after healing after healing after healing. Praise God for many other places like it. But I'm just telling you, you know, this is very important that we grasp this, because for us to accomplish all that God has called us to accomplish, these are fundamental principles that we need to take on board. Authority needs to be honored. When we honor God's authority before us in the service, when we yield to his authority, we give him permission to manifest his authority. Recognizing who has authority in a situation gives power to that authority. When I say that, I mean gives the authority the understanding that you recognize the power in the situation. Because know this, people tend not to receive from that which they don't honor. If you don't honor someone, you're not going to receive from them. You just don't receive from them. But if you honor, you can receive. It's an interesting, it's based on the laws of kingdom and church authority. Let's go, shall we, to the book of Luke in the New Testament. Let's read from Luke chapter 7 on this subject. This is very important that we understand this, because this will help us exercise our own authority, because each one of us has a place of authority. You see, for example, on the Wednesday evening, when you come, if you don't take up your place of authority, what happens is if you don't know your place of authority, you don't exercise your authority. Listen, you have authority. You have authority within an environment. I don't know what that is for each one, but I do know that each one has authority as a believer in their family. I do know that you have authority as a believer in the family, and I do know that as the family with the children, the little children now, the parents in the family have authority over those children's lives. And the parents exercise authority over those children's lives, and that will have an impact on those lives. And if the parents don't exercise authority, they're wasting what God has given them. So we exercise authority over their lives. How do we do it? By and through prayer. That's in line with Scripture. And by and through living according to the Scripture. Teach a child in the way that they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. Pray that they would be all that God has called them to be. Do all that God has called them to do. Exercising authority over their lives. Praying protection over them. Coming and praying protection and saying, Lord, I thank you for an angel on their left, an angel on their right, everywhere they go. Thank you, Father God, for that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, look, you can pray it once. and leave it at that and believe that and once, nothing wrong with that. Or you may be led to pray it every week. Nothing wrong with that either. And don't let anyone tell you that there is. Listen, it's an exercise of authority. Things are moving in the universe. The universe is moving. The blood is moving around your bodies. Things going in your bodies. Things are going through your bodies. Everything is moving, okay? And God expects us to be moving in His flow. And that means that from week to week, we're changing. Things are slightly moving and changing. And what happens is, if people aren't careful, they remain stationary and fixed. There's no movement. It's not the way it is with God. With God, there's movement. There's a flow. The earth is moving, isn't it? It's spinning. It's spinning. There's movement with God all the time. So He's speaking to us. He's speaking to us about the children, about our authority, about what we should pray, about what we should do, where we should go. He's speaking to us about the word. Let's look at this scripture here from Luke 7. Now, when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, and a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, "I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." And those who were sent returning to the house found the servant well who had been sick. The centurion recognized authority and then was able to receive from it. So we must recognize authority and receive from it, and we must exercise our own authority so that others will receive from it, so that our children will receive from the authority that God has given to us, so that our family members will receive from the authority that God has given to us. What's the definition of authority again? Authority has three parts: decision, command, and action. The pattern of that authority works this way. Someone exercises their will and decides what should happen. Something needs to happen. Then they issue a command. Someone else or something acts on that command, and what is done coincides with the will of the one in authority. Their will is done. It works like this in a prayer meeting. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We have authority in Jesus' name. We have a kingdom authority. And we take our kingdom authority now in Jesus' wonderful name. We exercise that authority. And we exercise that authority. And we speak knowing that we have authority to influence this area, to stop certain things from happening. And we engage in a prayer. And that prayer, if it's a prayer of faith, if there's real faith in that prayer will accomplish that which was prayed for. And that's the exercise of authority. You see, the enemy wants us to think that we don't have authority. Wants us to think that we just go about life, you know, we're just going to, "Oh, it's a terrible world. Oh, isn't it? Oh, it's just terrible. The whole thing is terrible." Hey, God loves the world. And we're His ambassadors. And he's called us to affect the world. They'll be pleased if the bad things stop. They want us to exercise our authority. They may not know it, but they need us to exercise our authority so that things change for them also. And when they find out that we've been exercising authority and that has changed things, they'll be interested in the kingdom as well. So recognizing authority is a very important thing. It's part of the government of God. Now, let me ask you, because power is not the issue, authority is the issue. Power isn't the issue. Ephesians 1:19 says, you know, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe? Plenty of power. You shall receive power when that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The power is there. The question is authority and recognizing your authority to exercise that which has been provided. You know, I've said it before as we close here this morning. I've said it before. It's an absurdity to think of a policeman who has been called to direct traffic, you know, twiddling his fingers like this. And you go up to him and you say, "Officer, what's the matter? Something's wrong. The traffic's gone crazy. I just don't think they're going to listen to me today." "Well, what do you mean, officer? What do you mean you don't think they're going to listen to you?" I just feel like no one's going to listen to me today." "Well, what do you mean, officer? You've been commissioned and delegated with governmental authority to direct the traffic." You never see a policeman do that, do you? They know that they've been given a commission to direct traffic. And they have the authority of the law of the land to stand there, stop this one, stop that, call. They've got the authority and they exercise the authority and things flow. Well, if a policeman can do it under the governance of the laws of the land, surely the children of God can do it. Under the direction of God Almighty, under the principles of his power and his authority, that we would impact our world as he's called us to. But so many Christians are just going through life with a little bit of religion. Just a little bit of religion will do for me. I don't want to upset anyone, you know. I just want to be, you know, just give me an easy, quiet life. Easy, quiet. Listen, exercise your authority and see what God will do. This is a spiritual warfare that he's called us into. The weapons of our warfare are mighty in God, designed for the pulling down of strongholds. And everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's what God has given us. We use that when we believe in it and exercise according to it. There must be action on our part. So there must be a belief and a subsequent action for that to manifest in life. Now he's called each one of us. You have authority wherever you go. When I used to visit a church, you know, churches, you know, they're very unbiblical. They pray for revival. Totally unbiblical. You don't find that in the New Testament. I've looked. It's nowhere there. Nowhere does it say, but it sounds good. Pray for revival. Oh, that sounds good. Yeah, we'll all get together, we pray for revival. No, it's religious. It doesn't say that. What it says instead is that we are to live his resurrection life. Not pray for revival, live his resurrection life. that we are the revival. The old boy went to Wales during the Welsh revival, and there was this old boy at the train station. That was it. And a reporter came from the Times in London, you know. And the reporter went from the Times in London, and he pulled up at the train station in South Wales there, and he called to this old boy. He said, "Jones." The old boy looked at him and said, "How do you know my name?" He said, "Well, I just guessed." He said, "Jones," he said, "where's this revival?" He said, "Oh, you want to know where the revival is? Oh, it's there." That's what a revival is. Praying for the revival is great, because what it does is it puts the onus back on God. It says, no. I know that you've given us authority. I know you've given us power. But hey, how about this for a good religious idea? You do it. You do it. I'll be involved. I'll be here in the church. Hey. But you do it. I'll waste 2 hours with my pals making ourselves feel good, but we don't want to go out there where it's all messy. I would just spend some time here together and we pray for revival. It sounds good. Oh, we've been praying for revival. Oh, we've been praying for revival. Sounds good, doesn't it? Oh, we're going to have even better. Plenty of churches do this. We're having all night prayer for revival. Oh, there's admirable of you. Oh, even better than that. Hey, here's a good one. We're going to pray and fast this whole week for revival. Oh, give me a break. Oh, you silly little religious people. Leave religion and live with Jesus at the helm and believe his word. His word says the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God. And he's told me that I'm to live revived. I'm to live new life, abundant life, power-filled, Holy Spirit-yielded life. And that life manifests his revival on planet Earth. When I would visit churches, as I used to do, when I would travel around a lot more than I do these days, I used to tell them all, "Well, congratulations, revival has come. I'm here." And some people would say, "Oh, he's a big-headed bloke. What a big head." And I'd address them, you know, and I'd say, "No, you missed the point entirely. I'm not big-headed. I'm what they call a Christian." Not being big-headed, just being Christian. You see? That's what it is. If you don't have power, there's something wrong, folks. There's something wrong. 1 Corinthians 2:5, we're closing this service. 1 Corinthians 2:5, it says this, that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. There's power. It must manifest. If it doesn't manifest, something is wrong. So the definition of authority, decision of will, a command, and then the action takes place. That's authority. I don't need to worry about the power. The power is there. I just need to yield to that. A decision. When I understood in the Bible that healing can manifest, anyone with a bad back here today? Anyone with a bad back, put your hand up. Please come down to the front, please, brother. When I understood that decision, just have a seat there, brother. When I understood that decision, which is my will, followed by a command, manifests in an action, everything changed. And when you apply that to your life, you'll find that everything will change. Everything changes. We take charge over that which is around us. And as we do that, God advances the more we take charge of. For this year, you believe for this. Next year, you believe for more. Next year, it's more, it's more, it's more, it's more. The thing grows huge. It's a kingdom thing. The kingdom is massive. It's expansive. It's not small. Let's just stand, shall we? All of us, just stand. Definition of authority. Authority has three parts. Decision, command, action. Now then, every eye closed. Decision, command, action. Hallelujah. Decision, command, action. Father God, everyone in this room, Lord, we are all Christians here this morning. I believe pretty much everyone in this room is a Christian. And Father, I thank you for my dear brothers and sisters. We thank you for your beautiful words, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you've given us authority, and we must act on that authority in the kingdom for us to be who you've called us to be. And Father, I ask this, that we would recall to our mind the need to make a decision, to offer a command, and to see action. That Father, the manifestation of authority will be in each of our lives. Because I know that you've called each one of us to exercise authority in our lives. That your will and purpose will manifest. Now listen, every eye closed, no one looking around. God is saying to you this morning, listen, you've got to start exercising more authority in your life. You've not been exercising the authority that I've provided for you in life. Now today, change that. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you and saying, listen, you need to start exercising authority. Stop being a victim. You're not called to be a victim. You're called to overcome. Be a champion, not a victim. And you're called to walk in that. Now listen, if that's you this morning and you want to start exercising more authority in your life, I want you to lift up your hand right now. Father God, I thank and I praise you, Lord. I thank and I praise you for our hands lifted up this morning. Lord, we just love you. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord, and we respond to you this morning. We're responding to you, Lord. We're responding to you, and we're saying, Lord, help us to remember for our lives how we should live, what we should do, who you've called us to be. That, Lord, the days of our lives will be spent in the victory that you purchased for us, and that the happiness, the blessedness of this life that you've given us will manifest, that people who know us will see a living testimony of Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. Have your way then, Father, in and through our lives. Praise be to God forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.